Good evening and welcome to round two of The Librarian on Authors on the Air tonight. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight for my second guest, I have author Aubrey Parr. She is Aubrey Parr waited until she was 40 to publish her first novel. Although she received her master's in accounting, Aubrey always knew, and I just blasted your name, Aubrey, always knew that she wanted to write. Within a few years of life experience With a few years of life experience under her belt, she decided it was time. She lives with her husband and daughter outside of Chicago, Illinois. When she's not chasing after her daughter, she sneaks off to create steamy stories of wonderful love affairs. And you can find out more by following Aubrey on Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon. Her links are all right here on the page, and I'm going to bring her on the show right now. Welcome, Aubrey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Sorry about the tongue stumbling. I don't know what else to call it. I'm not drinking. I swear.
I am. So hopefully that's okay.
But no, that's fine with me. That's fine. Except for me, because obviously I sound like I have been, and I probably should be. But welcome to the show, and welcome to the romance world. I love your story of, you know, always knowing that you wanted to write. I think that a lot of people have a similar story that, you know, you've got the bug in you and you know you're a storyteller at heart, but you go on, you get your degrees, you move on to a professional life, and then it just tugs at your heart to go back and listen to that, you know, inner voice of the storyteller.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, well, my great uncle, my mother's uncle was Evan S. Comell, which I didn't really know much about him because he's not mainstream. He's not Stephen King. But the first time I walked into Bar and saw his book cover up as a canvas, I thought he might be kind of a big deal. And I grew up around that. And I think I was intimidated by that and thought, I kind of want to do that. But that's like, you know, wanting to be an actress. You know, you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, that would be a nice life. And you move on. And it really wasn't until my thinking, okay, my daughter's going off to kindergarten and I got about a year and a half to figure out what I want to do so that she doesn't have to go to daycare until 7 o'clock at night. What am I going to do? And I thought, I'm going to just try. I'm going to see if I can do it, you know. And I had a book in my head that had always been bugging me and characters that had wanted to come out. And I always pushed them. All of a sudden, when I started writing notes, they came in pages and pages and pages. And I thought, I'm going to sit down and try this. That's how it happened.
So you were home with your daughter till she went off to kindergarten, and that's when you decided to do it.
Well, no, she doesn't go to kindergarten until next year. So I thought need a little bit of time. I have figured I give myself now a year to make it work so that I can still stay home once she's in school. So that's my plan. I tried to be a little proactive about it. Because I know, obviously, I'm not going to write something and, oh, great, revenues, yay. So I figured I had to have time to make this actually happen into a sneaky
make
career.
The transition.
Exactly.
A lot of people have that realization of going back to work after staying home with kids when they're little. And they're like, I either have to go back in the workforce and make them, you know, do the daycare bit, which I'm not knocking anybody that does that, by the way. You do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
And some people have a career that they love and they want to. So I'm totally, but I'm there too. My son is 5 and he will go to kindergarten. And I'm at that point of, you know, we've needed the extra income all this time, but hasn't gone to school. It's been like, okay, when he goes to school, then I'm going to get a job. But now I'm like, how can I not get a job and still work at home?
Well, exactly.
I can completely understand.
Every mother I know says, I don't know what my husband expects. I'm going to find this job that lets me drop my kid off at 9 and pick him up by 2:30, you know, kind of thing. It's like, well, you know, they're going to have to go to daycare. So writing is my plan.
Yeah. Well, and your first book, the first book was the story you had in your head, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or did you do another one?
So
okay.
No. Love on the Malecón was in my head because my sister's husband is from Puerto Vallarta, and I think it was set there because I needed somewhere. I needed escape vacation place that I could remember every brick on the Malecón by heart.
Right.
So I knew I could transport myself there while I was writing. And so when we would go visit and things like that, I always just had this kind of, it was real small at the beginning. I thought, oh, this would be kind of a fun idea. And then it grew from there. But I picked Puerto Vallarta, which I then learned a lot of people don't know what the Malecón is. But when I've been going there for 20 years, you tend to forget. So I thought, well,
right.
So that's when some people are like, what is that? What's a Malecón? So, but that's why I chose that. And that's why I think it was created there, because I've been there so many times and spent a lot of time. That's how it happened.
So, yeah. Well, no, I totally understand. I mean, it's hard to set something in a place that you've never been, even when you do the, extensive search. It's so much more if you can come from a place that, so.
Yeah, and my book coming out next year, I've been to Miami Beach a lot as well, mainly because we take so many cruises. We always stay in Miami Beach before and after. And so the third one is my first time, the one I'm starting to write now, where I haven't spent time there. And I've noticed I just have to create a place in my head because I don't have I don't have the memories to grow from. So I'm patient with this one.
No, that's a little harder, but a good writer can pull it off to where, as you create it in your head, you're actually creating it in the reader's head too. So that's always fun.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Love on the Malecón, and since that was your first and your baby,
mm-hmm.
tell us a little bit. No spoilers, but tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, sure. Okay, so I love series because I love where you get to stick with the characters. And so this is the first book, so the first set, and they follow into it. But it's about a girl named Nicole. Her mother died when she was young. She was raised by her father, and he has just passed away, and she has no family. She has a boyfriend that she lives with and that decided not to go. Her father's favorite place from traveling the world was Puerto Vallarta. So she goes as kind of a tribute to his life. And the boyfriend decides not to go, and that's, not a good sign. So, So the second she, is checking into her hotel, she sees this, tall, dark, and handsome man, of course, Eric Stone, and they meet immediately. And she's there, falling for somebody instantaneously, which she's not prepared for, figuring out if she's still what's going on with this maybe boyfriend at home, trying to recreate, trying to learn more, just, reconnect with him while she's there. And a lot of it is, it's very instill. They're adults too. I needed to write, I'm 40. I needed to write my age group. And so these are people that are in their, late 30s, and they're just trying to come, they just be a weekend love affair. Is this the real deal?
Mm-hmm.
And that type of thing. So just what goes on with that. She has little problems with an ex from, because Derek lives on resorts where he is supposed to be a land developer in vacation spots.
Ah.
And so he just lives on the resorts, because you have to have somebody with a fun and exciting job. And, there's an ex-girlfriend that causes some trouble and that kind of thing.
Hard to hook up with a world traveler too.
Exactly. Well, and she doesn't really have any. Somebody that's single and can live, can just travel the world. So that's the baby. That's just no spoilers. So that's kind of how they meet and what happens and how it goes. Tabitha?
I
can't hear you.
Now. Okay. Hold on a second. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I just heard that.
How about that? It's okay. It's just.
Oh, there we're back.
It'll get better.
Yeah.
I think it's. I dialed. It's back.
Okay. I think you're asking a question, honey. I can't hear you.
Can.
Oh my gosh.
Hear me? Hello. Yeah.
All right, I can hear mumbles.
Now?
I don't know if you can hear me clearly.
I can.
Are you there? Oh, there. No,
are you there?
Clear. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, weird. Weird, weird. Okay. So I forget what I was asking. Oh, I was asking. So you set your stories in these exotic locations. I guess vacation locations. Can you hear me?
Yes, vacation. Yes, vacation
okay.
Locations.
Does that have anything to do with the cold? Is Libby Jesus most of the year?
Say that for me one more time, sweetie. It cut out.
Is that is to do with you wanting to escape the fact that it's really cold all year?
Well, yes, but the funny thing is my third one's going to be set in Colorado, so that's. I think maybe because it's winter here and
oh,
I'm getting the.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I have two beach ones. I figure you know, switch it up a little bit, and there's a whole fun type of vacation where you're sitting by a warm fire and going skiing, and you know, it's a
true.
Whole, it's a different fun. And I did the beach scene twice already, so that changed it up a little bit.
Fun. Well, that sounds fun.
Obviously,
yeah,
you
want to
get
is.
Away from the cold.
Yeah. Why? Which is why you're in Texas, where it's not too cold for you right now.
Exactly. We're down here visiting, and it's gorgeous. We go home to, on Sunday, we go home to negative 17.
Oh, my gosh. I have been in Chicago when it's been that cold, and it's awful. It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm down here now in, like, the high 60s. <It's lovely. laughs>
Well, suck it up while you're here. Just soak it in and take it back with you.
Exactly. I'll do that.
My ex-husband's parents lived in Chicago for about 2 years, and we wanted to see what real snow looked like in the winter. Oh, my gosh. We went up
yeah.
to visit, and it was negative 17, and we were walking across the big parking lot to the Shedd Aquarium about to die. I had on 3 layers of clothes, but it still wasn't enough. I just could not understand why it was so freaking cold.
Yeah, and I moved there for my now husband in January, and it's freezing. Yeah, I don't know what the hell am I doing when I got there. But 10 years later,
well,
no, I'm still
well,
there. So,
right? Oh my gosh. Well, good luck, girl. I hope you stay warm
Thank
this
you.
Winter. Read lots of warm, steamy stories, and maybe you'll stay warm.
Exactly.
So, have you always been a big reader? Is that something that came along
you know,
later in life too?
No, I was always a big reader. It stops during, you know, different seasons of my life. I went straight through undergrad and grad school at once. Didn't read a book during that out, you know, accounting, which was no fun. But
uh-huh.
I probably should have, but it was one of those things that I just thought I'd probably shoot a book before I would pick it up and read it. I couldn't do it. So then I started reading again. And honestly, when my daughter was little, she was not a good sleeper. I just was kind of a zombie, and I stopped reading. And it was probably not good because, you know, that's such an escape. But I didn't know what else to do. I think I thought the second I can sleep, I need to sleep. I'm not going to read. I'll just tank. So I stopped reading that as well. And it's one of those things when you pick the books back up, you wonder, how, God, why did I stop this? You know, but
right.
I guess it's just it's survival mode sometimes, and that was me in college and me when my was born. So usually, yes. I mean, the second I was old enough to read romance, I had a Nora Roberts book in my hand. You know, she was kind of my intro to the romance world, you know.
Uh-huh.
But now, and I have met so many amazing authors this past year. It's been unbelievable. I can't believe so many women that you would always imagine would be catty and that type of thing. This industry is unbelievable with women. They're just so supportive and amazing.
I agree.
I've been extremely lucky.
I think that romance in particular, I don't know if it's because they write about love or just, you know, just something about romance authors are great. and other to new. There's so many stories about, you know, them giving him a hand up or, you know, critiquing for them or. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that's something. Endorphins and all that.
Okay, I lost you there again.
Oh, dear. I think it's something to do with stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. There is something that must be these wonderful stories we write that just keeps us all positive.
So who were you starstruck with? Who did you fangirl over when you met?
Who? I'm sorry. Can you tell me that one more time?
I said, who have you met that you have fangirled over the most?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know which one. The funny ones would be like the books that I had read and did. Like a random books occasionally, I wouldn't even know who wrote them, and going back and looking and seeing, oh my gosh, I'm friends with them on Facebook kind of thing, but I had no idea it was a book that I had read, you know, sort of thing. But Beautiful Disaster, I just absolutely, I mean, I love that book, and it's one of the things that I had no idea that was even. It just is kind of one of those things. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's who wrote that. You know, it's kind of one of the deals I picked the book up and realized. And Christy Pastore's stuff. I've met some really great new authors as well. Lindsay Marie Miller, she wrote the Arrangement. She's – I shouldn't say new. Newer than me. That'd be nice. But it surprises me. The ones that I've interacted with the most are some of the newer ones. I think that was kind of a camaraderie deal.
Right, yes.
Yeah, but it is kind of funny when I've looked up authors that I thought, oh, I want to see if I can find them on Facebook, and it turns out we're actually already friends. That's just kind of a fun.
You're like, duh, no.
Yeah. Well, you tend to forget at the beginning because I'm not a social media person. I'm so horrible with this that I try, you know, trying to get into it. I think I was just kind of like friend requesting everybody to just try to – make connections sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, I already did that. I already harassed them. Good. Done. Check.
It's called off talking. And it's okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Social media is, I don't know. I don't think it's for everybody. But, yes. No. To work and to, you know, connect to readers and make. And I would. So, making sure you can hear me.
You know what? I can't. I'm going to go outside to see if that'll help. I have a go. You know, it's nice enough here in Houston. I can go outside. Oh, it's going to echo.
And I don't know if you or me because.
I can't hear.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can. I'm trying to walk around my house and find a good spot.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, is this normal or is this just because it's bad me that this is happening with?
It's normal.
Okay, good.
Hold on.
Okay. Oh, the front door. Don't stand in the entryway. Or maybe not. You there, Tabitha? Tabitha?
Okay, I'm here. Are you there?
Okay, yes. The phone rang, so I was a little confused what was going on.
Well, my phone called. It's a long story. My phone was calling. My cell phone was calling out on the Wi-Fi, and apparently the Wi-Fi is being stupid, so I just called directly. Okay.
Okay.
Good, we're back. I don't think it's you. I think it was me.
Okay.
So, so how are you sneaking in writing time having a young child at home?
It's difficult because I'm trying to, she is still in preschool. She does go 5 days this year, luckily. But three of the days, it's only 9 to 11:30, which, I mean,
uh-huh.
you Yeah, I'm sorry, but to try to sit down and get going, and to try to keep the house clean, get grocery done, chill, you know, that kind of thing, and mix it all in. My husband has a rule of no technology after 8 p.m. That makes it extra difficult. Yeah, so the fact that I honestly have my beta readers have some really great people. One of them, she does author events and stuff, and she's just like, you're doing what you should be doing if you can get these books out in this limited amount of time that you have. So that's always
right.
Makes me feel a little better, because I only write for the most part when she's in school, and now I'm trying to fit in some way of the social media and promoting yourself, and it is when she's in school. I can kind of reread if she's around, but I can't get lost in the plot when she's around me. It doesn't happen. Plus, she wants to help
right.
me type. So there's sentences where I'm like, type a T, type an H, type an E, type a space, you know.
You have one of those, too.
Yeah.
I have one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's so helpful. Oh,
yes, I know.
Gosh.
How did we survive without their help?
I don't know, but
no.
mine sounds a lot like yours. He's still not the best sleeper, and I still feel, even though, you know, I know I'm getting enough sleep, I feel sleep deprived, even though I'm probably not. But I think it's just I got in the pattern of feeling that way, so I do.
Yeah, I know exactly what that's like. But no, I write when she's in school. So if I can get this going where I can make just a little bit of a salary, I feel like, she is in a kindergarten, I'm going to have all kinds of time.
Right. Then you can put out books faster. And oh, wow. And doesn't that sound great?
It does. Yeah. So I'm just hoping that we can do that. Or my husband can be, he can be patient enough for that to happen. Cause yeah, I mean, and I don't know how these women do it, these authors. I mean, I don't know if they have one of Hermione's time. They need to lend it to me because
yeah.
I don't know how they're writing books, taking care of kids.
Right.
On every 20 seconds. I mean, I'm like, I can't do it.
I always say that they don't have my kid. You know, they just
yeah.
don't have my kid. If you had my kid, you'd
it's
know.
Just like
you know,
super
but
women.
Yeah.
They're better at this than me. I don't know. So, but they do. I mean, I feel like I'm just never active enough on trying to kind of social media. I got to learn better. I got to work at that.
Yeah, it's fun though. But when you get a lot of followers, it becomes easier because they start to share things. So if you're listening, go to Facebook and follow Aubrey Parr, author. And the more of you that follow her, the more easy her job becomes. And she can write more books, and then it all just makes happy.
Yeah, yes, that would just all be lovely if you can go do that.
That's right. So, are there any authors out there that you would say that maybe influence your style of writing or influence your stories in some way?
I would say, like I said, I grew up reading Nora Roberts, and I think that she always, from what my experience, everybody I think takes different things from books, she kind of had a formula. So I think I knew I didn't necessarily want that. You know, it's girl, there's tension, they fall in love sort of thing, you know, and I mean, I kind of know when I open a book that's what it's going to be, but I still read it, you know, I still love them, she still does amazing, but I just, that made me want to try to make it different. I love,
uh-huh.
like, I'm not a romantic comedy writer, but I love, like, Sophie Kinsella's, the way that she's just so funny with her things that
right.
I like to
yeah.
always have a little, in the middle, I love writing, actually, the scarier kind of tense scenes, but I always seem to throw a little bit of, like, I try at least I think I've now, maybe not so much in Love on the Malecone, but I've learned to add a little bit of comedy there, just, I don't know.
Break the tension.
exactly, you know. So that type of thing.
What do you think makes a good hero in a romance novel, or the male main character hero,
so,
quote?
I have a bad boy thing, which over half the women in the planet probably do, but definitely mine are, it's definitely the type that could, you know, that will do anything to protect you a little bit, you know, more on the, definitely not controlling because that gets scary, but
right.
I would hover over more towards someone being like ultra protective, just the bad boy, they'll kick your ass. tattoos, do whatever they, you know, that type of thing covered in tattoos. I'm all about that, you know. Yeah, I had somebody read it for me, and they were like, well, this seems a little bit like this. He could get kind of scary. I'm like, that's kind of what I like.
Yeah.
clearly we like the different type of men.
Yeah, so. The borderline personality disorder, yeah. That's okay, though. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been a rise in fiction lately of the anti-hero, and, you know, that they're not really a good guy. And even TV, I mean, you've got like a Once Upon a Time Hook, you know? I mean, he was a good guy, and then he wasn't a good guy. And even though he tries to be a good guy, he still does bad guy things. But you still love him. You still think he's like the most awesome thing on television, except for Jamie Frazier, of course. But, yeah, you know, that kind of guy, they're dangerous. There's that, like, extra, I don't know, attraction of their darkness.
Yes, exactly. I'm with you. I mean, like,
yeah,
those people are out killing people, but you know what? They'd kill anyone for you at the same time. Like, that's all ultra sexy to me.
That's what I want a man to do for me. No, I'm kidding.
I want you
but...
to me. Tell me you love me.
Make it honorable, though. Okay. but yeah, I mean, that there's been a, you know, there's been a lot of that, and it's like you really have to think about what the human psyche does to find that more attractive than the goody guy over here. But it really does, especially women who, I don't know, I think it's something in our DNA that makes us look to that man who would die for you and kill for you and everything else. Something about it. I don't know. Not to say we're weak women, just that it's there. It's there. It's definitely there.
No, because it takes a ton of strong personality to be with a strong personality as well. So, no, and
then
also, you just don't want to write the perfect guy because nobody's perfect. I think I want to, you know, everyone's imperfect, but there's somebody perfect for you. And that's more, I think, where I go towards, that this is a real human with flaws, but, you know, in spite of all of that, everything that you can create between the two of you.
Well, and when you're in love, in real love, you know, when you're in real love, you come to love their flaws, and they're almost endearing, you know.
Like
my husband and snoring, you know. He snores, it's cute. I like it. Can't sleep without it. It's very hard.
I've been trying to tell myself that for the past 10 years with my husband. Okay, come on. You'd miss it if it was gone. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think he likes my snoring near as much as I like his, but yeah, his is cute. It's part of his personality. You know, he does this cute little snore, but he probably wouldn't like me telling you it was cute, but anyway. I think it's cute.
Sorry, it's our secret,
but yeah,
no.
Right. But yeah, their flaws, you know, their imperfectness is endearing to the. So, yeah, I agree with that. If they were perfect, then what would you have to look forward to? They're just perfect.
Yeah, and that's just not interesting.
No. Perfect guys are definitely not interesting. And I think that's why I was never into the, like, perfect-looking jocks and whatnot in high school. Because they did. They seemed perfect. It was like, wow, your teeth are perfect, your hair is perfect, your clothes are perfect, your car is perfect, you play sports like a perfect model athlete. That's just totally uninteresting to me.
No, you have to be the pretty one in the relationship, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, don't want a guy that's prettier than me. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So what about villains? What do you think makes a good villain in a, you know, in the dark stories?
You know, I'm learning more about that as I write, because quite honestly, I'm one of those people who can't watch scary movies because I feel like I'd give myself too bad of nightmares and I get those already sort of thing.
Yeah.
But like I said, like the writing is scary, far more interesting to me. I mean, I think the books initially started out where somebody that's not quite too scary, but you know, a scary situation. But now I'm like, I kind of think after I do this series, I want to write a psychological thriller. I've already got characters that are
awesome.
That are talking to me. Yeah. I didn't think I ever could do that. I thought I'd scare myself too much, or I'd give somebody an idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, can I live with myself if there was a copycat, you know, but I have a feeling it's going to come. So we'll see. But,
interesting.
So I think that my villain, I've been more open to them being scarier. At first it mm-hmm. had to be somebody that you could control and you couldn't get out of control because let myself get to that place yet. And that's definitely growing, I think, with my writing. So.
Do you think a villain is a better villain would be the one that is manipulative and psychologically manipulative to people? Or do you think it's just like the scary, has no conscience, can kill everybody type of person? Which one do you think is worse?
I mean, quite honestly, the manipulative, I think, is probably worse. I feel like for me reading, when I read the other, the no conscience, just killer is scarier. So mm-hmm. I don't really know if I'm answering that question correctly. I think that's something that it could really just depends on how far the villain would go with either side of how bad it could get. But
right.
manipulation. So I think that could just, from me and my personal experience of in life and what would be scary for me, manipulation would be that type of
far
villain
worse.
Could be pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I think about books like Gone Girl, you know, I mean, she was both, really. She had no
yeah.
conscience, and she was manipulative. But, you know, that book right there, I mean, she was your everyday person, according to her husband. He didn't know she was anything different than that, you know, until she just, whoo, crazy. And those are the ones that scare me because I'm like, turn around and look at people and go, are these people out here around me like this too, you know?
No, I'm with you. You think people have people locked up in their basement? You know, I mean, yeah, it is scary.
Right.
That hidden in plain sight type of person is terrifying. So I'm with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, one of the scariest movies to me that scared the bejesus out of me was What Lies Beneath. Did you ever see that one?
I might have. I know that.
It's Harrison Ford.
About, Yeah, that got into the. That was when I was old enough to realize I shouldn't be watching these.
Well, I was pregnant with my daughter at the time, and I watched it when I was home alone, and all the lights were off in the house, and she kept like, while she was in the bathtub, she kept seeing the ghost in the mirror, and I was like, I don't know, I think I was 8 months pregnant. I was going to the bathroom a lot. Let's just put it that way. And I was home alone. My ex-husband worked. He went to school till like midnight. So I would go to the bathroom and I was in there dying, 8 months pregnant, needing to go to the bathroom, but I was too scared to go and waited until I got home.
I completely understand that. I've made my husband get up and go to the bathroom with me when I was, if he like had me watch a screen. As long as you're okay that I'm going to get your ass up at 3 a.m. and we're going potty together.
Right.
We're good. Because that's the whole time. It's dark. Someone's going to jump out of the shower. I mean, yeah.
Well, and it was her husband that she was, you know, I mean, she was scared of what she thought was a ghost, but it was really her husband that she was figuring out was the cause of it. It was so freaking scary because it was so much of both, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm never watching that again. And thinking my way around it made me warped. So.
Yeah, that's my problem. Into, but I think I've worried about that. Could I write something? Or am I going to scare myself to death?
Yeah. if you scare other people, then you make money. That's really good.
I can do it and not be too scared to finish it.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Well, good luck with that.
Good luck with that. It'll become a movie and make you watch it.
Right. Okay, well, as long as I have plenty of wine beforehand, I might just laugh instead of cry. But so tell me what you've got. Okay, you've got Love on the Malecon, and then you have a second one coming out sometime in the early part of 2017.
Yes.
And that's the one you said was set in Miami Beach.
Yes, and that is, so the best friend, Nicole talks to her best friend a lot on the phone, and her best friend's name is Kate, who is based on one of my good friends. Just kind of her personality. Mm-hmm. I just kind of needed that. I needed the person there. And
right.
So Kate goes to visit her and in Miami Beach, and that's that story and her
that's her
story. That's her story. And then the third one is the guy Derek, kind of the hero of Love on the Malecone, who is also in he's there in Love on Ocean Drive as well. His right hand man is a guy who lived in went to college in the States. His name is Gael, and his book is going to be the third one.
Awesome.
That I'm working on now. Yeah, and he's the one that randomly a guy from Mexico wants to go to Colorado. So
okay.
That's the one I'm working on now, and he ends up that it's going to be his girl's name is Nora. A lot of these books kind of create themselves, which is I've had characters happen. The second book was the process is so different from Love on the Malecone. It was kind of interesting. I had characters create themselves. And it was interesting to see what they wanted to do and what happened and what they had planned. And so this one, I have far less of an outline. It's been kind of fun
mm-hmm.
to just discover what's going to happen.
And so you planned the other ones. You were more of a planner on the first two.
Love on the Malecone, definitely. I had far more because I thought about it, sat down and wrote. And so I had more of a plot. I had a few. My mom read it chapter by chapter as I wrote it, and one of my good friends did as well. My mom helped change it. She'd be like, "All right, you need." She kind of helped me organically change the plot a little bit or add some things. Where the second one, I just knew what was ultimately going to happen, and I didn't really know how. With the first one, I had about a chapter or two or a sentence or two for each chapter, and then and this time around, I just kind of vaguely knew what was going to happen and start writing and it would create itself. And this time around,
so do you find
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was like, are you finding that easier than planning?
I think it is. This third one is interesting. I was a little nervous when I sat down, and I think usually I've got to have the characters create themselves before I can really dive in. And I was getting a little nervous. And I think it wasn't until I got both of them down on paper that it just kind of started taking off. And it is easier because it's more fun. I stop and think about a little bit of what I want to happen in the scene, and then I don't really know what's going to happen next, and it just happens. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard for people to go from out being a planner to a pantser, but I don't think that pantsers can ever become, I don't know, maybe they can become planners, but I think once a pantser, you find that your wings are open and unfurled and you just go with it. So it makes it easier. I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah. I think that I'm going to, because I've already got notes going down. Thriller book, and I think that's going to be more of a planner because I haven't done it yet. I haven't done anything like
mm-hmm.
that, and I know I want to write these first. I want to finish the series, and so
mm-hmm.
I figure I don't want them to shut up and stop talking. I'm just going to take a lot of notes. So that might
right. Yeah. No. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah. So that might
you don't
be
remember
more of a plan. Yeah. Oh, good Lord! Don't you love that? You wake up in the middle of the night. I'm like, I don't remember that
right.
tomorrow. No.
Right.
It happened. So.
Yeah. I had a whole plot line planned that I came up with in the shower, came out and told my husband, and he's like, that's cool. Are you going to remember this? I said, yeah, because I told you. Now that I told you, I'll remember it. I have no idea. I remember telling him, but I don't
remember
what it was. So, no, he's a man.
Of course not. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I'll take that question back.
But anyway, yeah, so I'm sure it'll come to me someday, probably when I'm done with it, but whatever. So is there a topic that you would never write?
I could never, even though I want to write about some scarier stuff, I can't write about rape. I wouldn't do that. I that's off limits for me.
That's off topic, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise, so far I haven't come across anything that's
totally
off
the, yeah. Well, I think it's very brave that you're considering writing something darker that might scare you, but I think it's awesome because I think unless we step outside of our, well, I mean, unless you step outside of your comfort zone, you don't find out, you know, whether you can do it or not. And that's very brave. I like that.
I did find out. I mean, the first ones, it's definitely, there's tension in it, but I think Love on Ocean Drive gets a little bit darker, gets a little bit scary. At least I was starting to put my foot in the water with it being scarier. I just really enjoyed writing that portion, which shocked the hell out of me. So I thought maybe I could do this a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. So what else do you have planned for 2017? You've got the two more in the series coming up, and then you're going to work on the psychologicals, see what comes out.
Yeah, and I know I need to spend a lot more time, you know, trying to figure out this promotional thing. I'm doing a signing in Florida and Sarasota in July.
Awesome.
One of my good friends does, her and her friend do For the Love of Books and Author events, and she's got this just amazing event planned for the Sarasota in July. So I'm going to go down and be part of that, and just excited for that because it's just a whole new, hopefully it'll make it a little more real. And we're doing one.
Yeah.
To live in Chicago. They're doing an event in Chicago in October next year. So I'm going to do that. It's just a quick drive out to Geneva.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's, those are my big plans for, I'm hoping to have Love on the Rockies is going to be the third one because they all have to start with Love On, the name of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to, I'm hoping that could be out in July. I'm learning, this is a learn as you go that,
right.
I know I could get it written by then. Whether or not it's going to be able to be promoted enough to get out in July, we'll have to see. So I'm hoping to have the series completed right now. And I might go back and write a fourth one in the series. I have an idea, but I need a few years to pass and in the timeline of the series anyway, so I thought it was a good break. So we'll see.
Yeah.
If that fourth one ever comes out.
So you're not gonna say no to more in the series then. That's good.
No,
always keep an open.
Exactly. I already have an idea, and I thought, well, it's a good break because there needs to be a path for it. So it would be kind of a good this other idea to try.
Good.
So, we'll see.
Well, I wish you much success with the series, and I'm certainly interested in seeing what you come up with on the psychological thriller side because that'll be really cool. let's tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
So everything, my handle or name it's Aubrey Parr Books. So if you Facebook.com and / Aubrey Parr Books. If it's Twitter, my handle is Aubrey Parr Books. You want to email me, if I could go ahead, AubreyParrBooks@gmail. Instagram, which I'm getting better at doing. I'm not very active right now. It's a new thing,
Instagram's,
I think,
fun.
Apparently. Yeah, keep hearing that. I don't know what's stopping me. I've got to really dive in better. But that's Aubrey Parr Books. So.
And then you have an Amazon author page.
Yes. Which.
Yes.
God, I believe that's Aubrey Parr Books. I've tried my hardest to keep everything keep everything
that's
consistent.
That's good. That's good. No,
yeah.
That's good. A lot of authors can't do that because their name's already taken in certain places. So that's awesome that you were able to do that. And if they want to keep up with what's going on, which one do you hit the most, Facebook?
Yeah, definitely Facebook.
Okay. And then I believe, I'm pretty
right
sure
now.
That with Amazon that you can, if they follow you on Amazon, when you update your Amazon account with a new book, that it sends them an update too. So they can always follow you on Amazon. Yeah.
Okay.
So awesome. Well, I hope that you get to sneak off during your winter and write your little heart out. This from a mom that stays home with a monster child, I feel for you. So,
thank you so much.
I think you're amazing that you've actually written 2.5, almost 3 books. So I haven't even got one done. So I think you're amazing if nobody else does.
Well, thank you. That actually means a lot, especially coming from somebody else that writes. I always love to hear that.
Yeah, I never get time because if I sit down and try to get into a story, he blows it out of the water. So, yeah,
not going to happen until he's in kindergarten.
There you go. The promised land.
Well, thanks. Yeah, right. That's what I keep thinking. Well, thanks a lot for being on the show tonight. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season and that it's not negative 17 all winter. And
thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It was wonderful to talk
and,
to you.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you, too. And enjoy your trip in Texas and take some warm back with you.
Thank you very much. I'll do that.
Okay, have a great night, guys. Okay. You can find Aubrey on Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon as Aubrey Parr Books. And you can find me on Twitter as HOT_librarian_. I'm on Facebook as The Librarian on Authors on the Air. And I think I'm on Instagram as TabithaPope_librarian. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And you can find Authors on the Air Global Radio Network anywhere in the social media universe by simply looking up Authors on the Air or AOTAGRN. Thanks to Authors on the Air for letting me share my passion for romance and some great authors. And you have a great night, Aubrey.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. All right. And we'll see you all next Thursday right here. Oh, no, not next Thursday, because next Thursday is a busy Thursday. So I will see you after the holiday break, and I hope you all have a wonderful holiday. Sweet dreams from the librarian.